Happy NFL Draft Day on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. The draft is here, Ira. The long wait is over, man. Just as football fans, as Bucks fans, such a great day.
People flying in, people driving in, out of state, out of country, I do believe, Steve. Am I correct? Out of country. What respect for the commish.
Well, yeah, mad love. And if you don't know what the heck we're talking about, before we get into our usual stuff, tonight is the Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. And it's right at Sports Legends in Clearwater, corner of US 19 and Drew Street. Ira's going to be out there about 6:30, 7 o'clock. I'm going to be out there. I'm Steve Isbitz from JoeBucksFan.com.
Rock Riley's showing up.
Rock Riley, hope you're all enjoying the new Real Rock Riley segments, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Joe Bucks Fan. But, you know, what makes this unique, Ira, we're not just trying to sell a draft party. There's going to be a mob scene there. It's going to be a great party. It's going to throw us old guys back into the old college days of mayhem and madness. Hopefully there's a few women around so we really relive the college experience. But the reality is, Bucks fans are out of their minds with this draft and with this team right now.
Where the team is right now. That's what it's all about.
And it's great that we've been able to foster a lot of this passion and this pride. The Tribune, the old Tampa Tribune where you work, they didn't have draft parties. I don't know why. Yeah, radio station, are they having a draft party? No.
The Bucks hastily put something together.
The Bucks will have their usual thing for ticket holders only this year, but this is going to be a place filled with passion and just really reflective of the excitement for this draft tonight. And I'm glad we'll get to be there.
And your boy Pulowski is clearly the ringleader. Jason, or Justin, I think Jason, does a heck of a job. He sprung to my defense the last couple of days. I appreciate that, Steve. Unprompted, unscripted.
Unprompted, man. He saw you took shots, needless.
Took a little shrapnel. Yeah, you know.
Baseless attacks on your credibility and your ability and lunacy out there. And Pulowski, nobody even said anything to him. He went wild.
You know, I want Pulowski in a foxhole. That's what it's proven to me the last couple of days. He's got your back, Steve. He's got your back.
At 6'5", 280, I don't think you want him in a foxhole. He won't fit. He'll stand out. He'll get hit. But he'll be good cover for you, Ira. Well, hey, anyway, look, Ira, it's just exciting. We got so much to talk about here, from Adrian Peterson on the stinking Saints to the fresh news of the Bucks looking to trade down from ESPN to some other things you've heard on the side here, some interesting stuff that we can't share all, but you've just walked to the table here with some juice.
Absolutely. You know, one of the few ESPN reporters that's still standing after today, Adam Schefter, who's got a good track record. I mean, let's be honest. He's got top-notch sources, Steve, maybe even better than ours, and he's reporting that the Bucks are clearly looking to trade down. They're looking for trade partners. I think there's much more likelihood of trading down from a Buck perspective, Steve, than trading up. So we'll see what happens. I think when the smoke clears, they'll probably stay at 19 and take the best player on their board. I think that's the scenario. That's the winning scenario for the Bucks right now.
Well, before we talk about trade partners, Ira, and I know you have some theories on that that go deeper than you think that they'll stay there. One great trade partner is Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, as well as Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. That's where you want to start. The guys who support Ira Kaufman and all of his work on JoeBucksFan.com, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. At Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ira, you know what? Everyone wants more time, more savings, more benefits. You'll always get more at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Lease a 2017 CTS for just $449 a month with zero down. Have you seen the CTS, Ira? Gorgeous.
I've seen it. I've read Gorgeous. About it. It's exquisite.
$449 a month.
And I don't have one. Keep going.
$449 a month with zero down. And enjoy the many benefits of being an Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa client, like complimentary digital alignment checks, car washes, courtesy transportation, and so much more. Click EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. That gets it started. See the dealer for all the details. Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon and Ira, that's Brandon's only luxury dealership. And we're going to talk more about their great opportunities later.
And I'm wearing a Cadillac shirt, tonight, Steve. I just want you to get prepared. All I got to do is pick the right color. You got anything in mind? Blue, gray, red? What do you want?
Why don't you usually wear that pink that you wear with the plaid hat?
And then the Riesling, you know, and it takes a beautiful picture.
Your knickers and your Riesling. And bring your putter. Bring your putter with you. Well, you always bring your putter.
My golf cap.
your big stick there. All right. So in all seriousness, Iris, you know, it's nice to say, yeah, they'll probably stay where they are, the Bucks, and they probably will. But Schefter's saying three sources or multiple sources tell him the Bucks are looking at trading down. And I don't think anybody's shocked by this. Now, there's the whole Dalvin Cook faction of, we got all my trading down, he'll never be there. But the reality is, Mr. Jason Light traded down last year in the first round, moved himself down to number 11.
With good intel.
Good intelligence. In comes the Giants at number 10. They draft cornerback.
They draft a corner.
Eli Apple. And then Light walks in and says, I got my cornerback at number 11, Vernon Hargraves, which, you know, that's pretty crafty, slick stuff going on
And
there.
Pick up an extra pick in the bargain.
Picks up a third-round pick, uses that to trade up. Picks up a fourth-round pick, uses that to trade back into the second round, grabs Roberto Aguayo, and the rest is horrible Bucks history on the Aguayo pick.
You know, Steve, on the surface, having the number 19 pick, some fans might say, the Bucks don't have that much leverage. It's 19. It's not number 6. But I'll tell you what, Steve, as the draft unfolds tonight, there's going to be a couple of people that are still on the board at 19 that was unanticipated. It happens every draft. And then a team like the Chiefs at 27 or somebody else wants that guy and thinks he's going to go between 19 and 27. And they won't get a chance at him. And Steve, all of a sudden, Jason Light's got leverage. And the move from 27 to 19 shouldn't be that exorbitant, maybe on paper. But, Steve, they can wrangle a number 2 pick out of this very easily.
All right, so that your fans listening maybe for the first time don't realize that you are a Chiefs fan. You're a lifelong...
I'm a long-time Chiefs fan. AFL days.
I'm not going to say lifelong because I know you were born before football was invented.
My brother was a Raiders fan, you know, with the Mad Bomber, LaMonica, and I had Lenny Dawson in the Chiefs. Most of the time, he kicked my ass. But you know what? In the final game of AFL history, Chiefs beat the Raiders and got into Super Bowl IV.
So you are an astute Chiefs follower, and in many ways the Chiefs will hold some cards here in the draft because there's a lot of talk out there that the Chiefs are looking to draft Deshaun Watson. Meanwhile, they traded 2 second-round picks to get Alex Smith. They're a good football team, and nobody would be shocked if Alex Smith helps them get to the AFC Championship game. But is that a reality? And then, first I want to hear, do you think the Chiefs do want a quarterback in this draft? And second, I want to know if you think that the tight connection between Dirk Cutter and Andy Reid and the fact that last year when the Bucks traded to get Aguayo, they traded with the Chiefs. That's whose pick they took to move up with Aguayo. There's clearly a relationship there. The Chiefs are sitting at 27. The Bucks are sitting at 19. You know, what do you think?
That relationship certainly doesn't hurt when you're negotiating and trying to work out a package. Reed and Cutter are extremely close. I sat down with Reed at the NFL owners meetings last month with you, and I was at Reed's table. I asked him about Deshaun Jackson, and you know, the first thing he says is, well, if anybody is going to know how to use a weapon like that, it's Dirk Cutter. He's got a tremendous regard for Cutter. They go way back. It helps. It's not going to, you know, make the deal happen, but it helps. I'll say this. Take all the public things that Andy Reid and, you know, Alex Smith's teammates are saying about Alex Smith and throw it out the window. The fact is, I think there's a feeling inside the Chiefs' brain trust that I'm not sure this guy can get us where we need to go. That's a good football team. They got a lot of key components, good players like Eric Berry. Tyreek Hill's a monster, you know, came out of nowhere. Justin Houston. They've got players. Can Alex Smith get it done? I don't know. I mean, Buck fans saw him with the game on the line. He threw an interception in the end zone. That's a throw that a rookie makes.
Chris Conte, baby.
Buck fans couldn't believe that play. And believe me, Chiefs fans couldn't believe it either. I think there's a real feeling that this is a year that the Chiefs get a quarterback. Now, look, if it's Deshaun Watson or Mahomes or Kaiser, is that guy going to start week one for the Chiefs? No. They're going to go with Alex Smith. But I think they got to start thinking about the next quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think there's a real feeling in KC world that they might have to make a move up to get their guy.
Well, then let me take that a step further. If you think the Chiefs are a possibility to give up a second-round pick and swap first-rounders with the Bucks, if you think that's a possibility, then how would the Chiefs trade a second-round pick and a and a first and then not start the guy? You think they would have that type of patience to make that move and then wait and see with Alex Smith?
Because Smith has a pedigree. You know, you're not replacing Josh McCown here. You're replacing a guy who's, you know, he started a lot of playoff games. He's had some good playoff games.
Ira, you can't say Josh McCown to Bucks fans without some sort of just the word itself gets people jumping off small ledges, banging themselves into blunt objects.
I understand
banging
that.
Keyboards.
But Steve, you also have to remember that right now, if the season started, Josh McCown would be the starting quarterback of the New York Jets. It's stunning.
Just be sensitive. Sensitive to that name.
I understand.
It hurts.
But, you know, Josh McCown also, in his own way, very much helped the Bucks to land Jameis Winston. So that softens the blow about Josh McCown. Remember late in that season, after McCown got hurt and came back, he still wouldn't play Mike Glennon. He gave McCown the job back. And when the smoke cleared, the Bucks had Jameis Winston. So, you know, in retrospect, Josh McCown is a central figure in Buck history.
You're a very positive guy, Ira. So continue.
But I do think it's not outlandish that Andy Reid wants a young quarterback to groom. And I understand what you're saying. But late in the first round, Steve, it's not picking a guy at number three. So the guy at number three, and it's a bad team, you know, obviously a 4-12 team that the guy at number three is going to. And he's got to start. I agree with that. Look at Winston with the Bucks. There was no question. Mariota with the Titans. No question. Got to start from day one. It wouldn't be the same thing with Deshaun Watson, Mahomes, Kaiser, Brad Kaya, whoever you want to throw in there at that point. I disagree with that premise that guy's got to start day one.
Okay. One little note there, because it was just so much fun. You know, being in Kansas City for that Bucks beating of the Chiefs, two things. One, you know, the Chiefs had that tremendous home record. Sports radio in Kansas City after that game and the next morning, unbelievably electric. Just the fact that they lost to the Bucks, the lowly Bucks.
They were outplayed in that game. There was nothing fluky about it.
Yeah, I'm just saying the fans themselves and the hosts.
I think they had won 10 straight at home, Steve.
Yeah, it was quite a shock, and it was fun to be a Bucks fan on the other end of that. But second, and this happens a lot in sports, Ira, you've seen it. The Chiefs hosted the Bucks. In comes a young quarterback. The future of the NFL, Jameis.
A dynamic kid.
Dynamic kid. Jameis had his best game of the year, in my opinion, in that game. Was flawless, and you know, against a very good defense. And you know what? Sometimes that makes a team like the Chiefs look in the mirror and say, we don't have anything close to this, and here we got Alex Smith again. And Alex Smith performed the opposite way when the game was on the line. Sometimes that makes teams, you know, really open their eyes.
And, Steve, that's a great point. And don't forget, the last game in the memory of Chiefs fans, and more importantly, Andy Reid, is a drab effort at home against Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh had a good team, not a great team. They went out the next week and got beat by New England. But Pittsburgh comes in on the road, and they dominate the Chiefs, and Alex Smith does nothing.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing. And that is the lasting impression of Alex Smith going into this draft.
Now, with the Bucks looking for a trade partner, and I assume that that's accurate, I mean, they look every year, but I think that at this point, it's serious that the Bucks are serious about that.
And a particularly deep draft, Steve, adds the fuel to that.
Now, let's take Minnesota. We learned that the Vikings are not going to take the fifth-year option on Teddy Bridgewater, who had the horrific injury. Sam Bradford is Sam Bradford. They could be a potential trade partner with the Bucks as well. Maybe you think the Bucks, as a trade situation, would they be interested in a first-round pick next year? Because Minnesota doesn't have a first-rounder this year, maybe as part of a package of picks. Do you think the Bucks would want to completely get out of the first round if, let's say, Minnesota gave them a first-rounder, maybe a first, second, and third next year, and something this year to get into the first round this year?
Steve, where the Bucks are in their cycle, at least in the minds of the Glazers, which is the most important thing, the Glazers think this team's on the brink of doing something big. Buck fans share that sentiment. So in that respect, you know, the 2018 first-round pick, you don't know how the Vikings are. To me, they look like a 7-9-8-8 team, pick maybe in the middle of the round. First of all, I'm a little shocked that they might be giving up on Teddy Bridgewater. I know it was a horrific injury, but prior to that injury, I like Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, good quarterback, sure.
Good quarterback. Yeah, you know, he had a lot of intangibles. Great teammate, great leader. Do you give up on Teddy Bridgewater? But, you know, the facts are the facts. You might be right. But as far as that future number one, where the Bucks are in that development, I want immediate help. I want immediate help. The Vikings could press for that, you know, 2018 pick. If I'm the Bucks, I want help in the 2017 draft. It's a rich draft. It's a deep draft. And I'm telling you what, if Jason Light comes away with two contributors this fall, and I've got every confidence that Light can do that based on his track record with his first three drafts, this team's got the look of a dangerous team.
Now, Ira, I'm going to call it right here. I'm going to call it right here because, you know, people listen to this darn podcast for your sage wisdom and your contacts. And I wish sometimes the audience could just understand exactly what comes across our desks and our phones. It's a whole world behind the scenes here at JoeBucksFan.com, one that you probably didn't even understand when you were at the Tribune. Is that fair to say?
I did not know that this is required reading, Joe Bucks fan, and required listening from the grand poobahs that are actually in the National Football League. It's a nice compliment to the website.
It's interesting. Anyway, I'm going to put you on the spot here and let you say this. Now, you said to me, you are a confident man, not a betting man, not that confident, but you're confident that the Bucks aren't drafting Dalvin Cook in this draft. Is that a fair statement, Ira? Based on the knowledge you have received?
Based on all my up-to-date information, I don't think Dalvin Cook's a Buck tomorrow night. That's correct. Now, let me tell you why. Hold on. I'll back it up. In this particular draft, let's assume Fournette and McCaffrey are gone within the first 18 picks. Cook's sitting there, which I still think is problematical because I think Philly could take him. But if he's sitting there at 19.
Redskins could take him, too.
Redskins could take him, too. For the Bucks to take Cook at 19, Steve, a couple of things have to happen. One, Dirk Cutter's got to love him, as I mentioned in my column on Wednesday. Light, you know, Cutter's not making this pick. Light's making this pick. But as with a guy like Dalvin Cook and Cutter's pedigree as the guy who calls the plays and the great respect Light has for Cutter and his acumen in evaluating players, if Cutter's not all in on Dalvin Cook, Dalvin Cook's not going to be a Buck. I mean, that's just the facts. Doesn't mean that Cutter's running this draft. But you understand what I'm saying. Number two, if they take Cook at 19, it means that they clearly think he is a cut above in a significant way the other running backs that are going to be available past pick 19. And I'm not sure they feel that way in a draft that's stocked at this position. So, yeah, those two factors in. Cook's fumbling issues, which I think could be more than a red flag. That could be, you know, that could be the dagger as far as the Bucks are concerned. You add them all up, and I don't think Cook's going
to
be a Buck.
In addition to the intelligence that has been floated your way in the last handful of hours.
Well, in a way, what you just said is correct. Because if Schefter's right, and I don't have any reason to think he's not,
sure,
the mere fact that the Bucks are looking to trade down tells you they're not all in on Dalvin Cook. If they're all in on Dalvin Cook, they're certainly not taking offers to move from 19 to a 27. I don't care what kind of intel Light's got. He can't be assured that those six or seven teams aren't going to take Dalvin Cook.
No, and most of those trades go down on draft day. So, you know, if the Bucks do trade down, it's not going to happen this morning. It would happen as the draft unfolds.
As the draft unfolds.
Within scenarios that would play out.
Who's still on the board that we didn't think was going to be on the board. That's right.
Now, when it comes to the draft, Ira, so the question is, okay, Ira Kaufman, all right, you don't think the Bucks are going to take Cook. There's other running backs. We can live with that. Okay, if they hang out at 19 and they stay there, they just let it come to them. Light doesn't feel a good trade down, or he's got some guys in mind and it's not there, and he offered a trade down. What do they do?
I've come around to your way of thinking as much as I try to fight that notion just on principle. I don't ever want to agree with you.
Principle.
I'm looking at a guy. Now, this guy could be gone. A lot of people have him going in the top 12. Derek Barnett. He's a pass rusher out of Tennessee. Tennessee not exactly known as the cradle of great NFL players the last 5 years. But look. I've said it before. I'm not overly comfortable with the situation at defensive end as far as pass rushing. Golston, nice run plugger. They got him back. I think that was a smart move. plays the left side. It's hard to find a decent left end. But he's not a guy on third and eight. You're going to have Will Golston coming off the left edge. You're
yeah,
not.
Look, we've run down the list of the holes.
You got
at
Spence,
the edge. You got holes.
Then, you know, you got Ayers, and I'm not sure how much they could depend on Ayers. He got hurt last year. He's 32. Jacquees Smith, we don't know what's going on, coming off a big injury. Other teams have looked at Smith, like the 49ers. They've decided to pass, Steve. They've passed on Jacquees Smith. So Derek Barnett's sitting there. I think he's a talented pass rusher, highly regarded. I think he's high on the Bucs' board. If somehow he slips through those first 18 picks, I can see him being a Buck.
Yeah, it's, you know, Noah Spence. When we were at the owners' meetings, Ira, Jason Light called him an animal.
He did.
The guy's an animal.
Jason Light, however, Steve, and I think you might have said it in your presence, on several occasions since the season ended, he keeps saying, you got to have those guys to put the quarterback on their ass. Not in those exact words, because Jason Light doesn't use words like that. But maybe Keister, maybe Butt, you get it. And especially in a division with Newton, Breeze.
Yeah, Jason Light would never say
Matt
such
Ryan.
A thing.
Steve, the sure. pass rush isn't where it needs to be. It's just not.
No, it's not. And the point I was going to make about Spence is, you know, still a young player. He may not play even until training camp. Yeah, they may take it very easy with him coming off shoulder surgery. Still green, still has a lot to learn. Late in the season, he was not getting a ton of snaps. He disappeared off the box score for three consecutive games. Now, yeah, he was hurt, but it's he's still a question mark.
Steve, these guys that are on paper, you know, when you list your board and you got your roster, a Buck roster, Steve, they have a funny way of falling by the wayside. George Johnson, you know, Howard Jones. And this year it could be Jacquees Smith. All of a sudden, something happens, you know, injury, ineffectiveness. I know George Johnson's still on the roster, Steve, but they can't possibly be counting on George Johnson.
No. He's just a camp body, and you know? Jacquees Smith is still recovering from knee surgery. You're not going to see him until training camp either. So, but on the I don't disagree with you on defensive
and
end.
And you don't want to have to blitz extensively. You don't want to be in that box where you have to. You have to bring a safety. You got to bring Levante David. You want to bring him when you want to bring him, Steve, as an additional guy, but not as a guy where if he don't come, you don't have a pass rush.
All right, so Ira, okay, now I appreciate it because I gave you homework last time. You did your homework. You said, hey, if Barnett slips, we go get him. And we've written about Barnett on JoeBucksFan.com. If you want to know more about him, just Google Barnett and Joe Bucks Fan. You can find out a lot about his success, early success in the SEC, and he was very consistent. So, okay, so in that scenario, let's say they do get their DE in the first round. That brings us, in my opinion, this team has got to walk out around 2 and 3 with a running back and a receiver.
Yeah,
You have to. And so you agree with that. Again, I appreciate that.
Well, what about safety? I mean, there are some needs on this team, Steve. There are some needs.
Yeah, safety's a need. One of the interesting guys at safety is the guy who was, you know, won that Jim Thorpe Award, top defensive back in the country. Now, does that mean much? I don't know.
Didn't Mark Barron win that? I believe he did.
I think so. I'm not sure. Jonathan Banks won it. Maybe that's who you were thinking of.
I think Barron might have won it that year.
That I don't know. But he was a corner. Desmond King at Iowa is who I'm talking about. Played a ton of snaps, leader, hard-nosed player, ton of picks, ball hawk, but he's considered a safety at the NFL level. Anthony Becht, you know, former Bucks tight end on the radio network now, he considers King, and maybe it's a little controversial from Becht in a very deep safety class, he considers King to be the fifth best safety pick out there. But King's a guy that might be a third, fourth round pick, but he seems like a Jason Light kind of guy in the raw football player kind of guy, high production, intense kind of cat. And, you know, maybe he's a safety option. I don't know. I just don't think they're going to go very high at safety, even though there's depth here at safety. I think they're going to put more of that emphasis up front.
Corners are concerned, Steve. We don't know what's going on with Grimes past 2017. You've got Hargraves, certainly. You got Ryan Smith, who's a project right now, moving from safety to corner. So anybody who thinks that this is a set team, that's crazy. But every team has needs. The Patriots have needs. They don't have a running back right now. Who's the number one running back on the Pats?
Well, you think that's more ego by Belichick? Because, look, obviously, they won the Super Bowl. LeGarrette Blount fits their system very nicely. They don't have to pay him more than a couple million, and he's not unsigned. Is that just Belichick saying, I don't need you? So I'm going to just.
I mean, he did score 18 touchdowns, Steve, but to me, you know, I've never been a big Blunt fan.
No, I'm not. You can't get away with this. Enough of this 2010 revisionist history. The guy had 293 carries last year, 18 touchdowns, more than 1,000 yards. He's your go-to guy in the offense, and Belichick can sign him for peanuts, and they won't touch him. What is that?
Well, doesn't it also say something about Blunt that nobody else has picked him up? You know, people are going for Marshawn Lynch out of retirement, and nobody wants LeGarrette Blunt. What is this, Anthony Collins revisited over here, Stephen? I've never been a big Blunt fan. I've never, you know. Now, what about the white kid that, you know, had a fantastic Super Bowl for the Patriots? I mean, Belichick has that guy in reserve. And I don't think Belichick goes to sleep at night worried about the running back position. I think he feels that's a plug-and-play position.
Well, now we have Jason Light, who's also from that that Belichick tree, believes in Belichick and a lot of that way. Do you think that affects, or is that part of Jason Light's DNA? Belichick wouldn't draft that early running back. I mean, is it in Light's DNA to go get the early running back?
Not in this. If he had that inkling, I think it's reinforced by this particular draft. You know, this draft's got 6, 7, 8 bona fide running backs with the look of guys that are going to be very good NFL players. Look, we haven't even mentioned Marlon Mack. I mean, probably going to be there in the third round. Local kid. He's got great tape, Marlon Mack, and he's a breakaway threat.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question that may seem a little wacky. I haven't heard anybody mention this at all. Haven't written about it. But I've thought about it. You know, you're a big proponent, Ira, of sticking to the draft board. That's just you. And you're a lot of people join you with that. Do you see a scenario here where the Bucs draft two running backs? Hey, we got a guy we love, and heck, this guy's available. Let's just draft two. The hell with Doug Martin. The hell with Charles Sims, who's a tap dancer. The hell with Peyton Barber. If they like two guys, would they draft two?
Take it easy, Isbits, because the last time the Bucs doubled up early in a draft, Bowers was the second defensive end. I still remember Raheem telling me, Kaufman, you gave us a B in the draft. We just stole Daquan Bowers. Are you crazy? He's going to end up being the star, and the next thing you know, Bowers is out of football. You know why? He didn't love football. So you make mistakes sometimes when, you know, you crave a position so much that you double up. I don't see it, Steve. Don't forget, there's going to be some decent running backs that are cut late August, early September. Happens every year. You know, the Chris Ivories of the world. You know, you don't look at a guy twice. Next thing you know, the guy's got, you know, 1,100 yards. So those guys are available. You draft the guy, and then you look at the guys that are cut in the final cut, you go.
You're dodging me, Aaron. If the Bucs
get you got Doug Martin coming back. Hey,
If the Bucs get their running back in the second round, and all of a sudden they're in the fourth, and Marlon Mack's sitting there to pull your name back out, and they're shocked that he's there, they like him, they like the explosion, might they draft too?
Maybe if they have extra picks. They got extra picks. Steve.
So I'll
but
take
I'm,
that
I'm
as
not
a
going
no.
there. Take it as a qualified no.
Now, something very interesting broke Wednesday on the draft. Dying to get your opinion on this. But first, of course, we have to thank Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Brandon's only luxury dealership in Brandon, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, where they believe customers deserve more, like more selection. Shop hundreds of brand new Cadillacs. New 2017 ATS sedans are just $319 a month. Morse has more. Hurry into Brandon's only luxury dealership, Ira. But it gets started at edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. See dealer for all the details. And
I'm going to be a walking ad for Ed Morse tonight at the draft party. Steve, hat. Got the hat, got the shirt, possibly some underwear, Steve. You know, I don't want to get anybody excited, but I will be brandishing the Ed Morse name.
Listen,
proudly.
Listen, my friend Kaufman, are you sure you're qualified to wear the underwear? You know, I don't know. I don't know if you can get the underwear in the Hall of Fame. I don't know about
maybe
that.
A wristband.
All right. Ali Marpet jumps on NFL Network Tuesday morning. My days are mixed up. Wednesday morning. Jumps on there, does a long interview, and hats off to Nate Burleson. The former
wasn't that the day we were going to do our podcast from that room, and Ali Marpet booted us out of that room because I think that was that.
I think that's when they recorded the segment.
Okay, that's when they recorded it.
Anyway,
right.
Marpet is pressured by Burleson, who says, hey, look, Allie, lose all the cliches, lose all the BS. Don't worry about hurting a player's feelings on your team. Could you please tell me what you think the Bucks should do in the draft? What should they address in the draft?
Burleson's asking a guard slash center? A third-year player out of Hobart?
Yeah, and he made it clear, saying, look, I know if you say a certain position, you might hurt somebody's feelings, but please, please be straight with us. Well, Marpet says, man, you're putting me in a tough spot. Well, I'm going to put on my GM hat. And Marpet says, from what I see, quote, we could use depth at corner, depth at tight end, and some pass rushing stuff.
That's a tough spot for Ali Marpet. It is, to be
so,
honest.
All right, but he put it out there. So Ali Marpet goes on national television and says, corner depth, tight end depth, and a pass rusher.
He wasn't going to say offensive line, right, Steve? Well, no way. No way.
And then he quipped, hey, and certainly what I can promise you is we won't be drafting a quarterback. But what do you make of that? Do you put any stock into Ali Marpet saying edge rusher?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that was a fair question for Burleson to ask Ali Marpet. That's a tough one. Number two, I'm surprised that Marpet didn't take a pass on the question. Steve, we had him at the podium on Monday. He was well-scripted. He knew everything to say. When I threw that question, you want to be paid as a center or a guard, he skipped it. I would think he would have bypassed that question, but he answered it. So give him credit for honesty. Depth at corner, which we just talked about.
Do you put
any
credence into it? Do you think he's got some info? You believe his eyes are telling a very smart tale? He's a smart guy.
I think he was speaking for Ali Marpet. I don't think he's in on Jason and Dirk's draft meetings, nor should he be. I don't think he would give away secrets of intel. He was speaking for himself. So he said depth at corner, which you and I both agree with.
Sure.
Pass rush, which you can never have too many. And what was the third one? Tight end?
Tight end.
Well, maybe he said that because there seems to be two tight ends that maybe are top 15 material in this draft.
Could be. I mean, but Brandon Myers is gone. He was your number three. And
Stocker's a blocker.
Stocker's banged up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I don't think it was a knock on Brait necessarily.
No.
Why would you knock Brady? He's come out of nowhere. He's one of the great positive stories in One Buck Place, Steve. But there's some things that Brait's not particularly adept at, that yards after catch. It's funny that Mike Evans mentioned that on Monday, what he needs to work on, yards after catch. You're right. Mike Evans is not exceptional at it.
Well, it triggers.
Deshaun Jackson is.
Look, there's a reason the Bucks were so poor at explosive plays. Part of that is running after the catch, period.
Brait catches a 12-yard pass, and he gets tackled.
And he gets 13.
You know, but he catches everything that's thrown his way.
It's no knock. That's just not him. And, frankly, that's why he was an undrafted free agent. Guys, usually speed is usually the big quotient between an undrafted guy and a drafted guy. Now, Ira, Bucks fans were very, very distressed earlier this week.
As were you.
Very distressed that Adrian Peterson goes to the New Orleans Saints.
Of all teams.
A coach that could one day end up in the Hall of Fame if things turn around with his team.
Got to win another Super Bowl, you know.
Yeah. An offensive guru, true guru.
Yes.
Adrian Peterson, they're going to pay him $3.5 million. That's chump change. Yes. That's Chris Conte money.
Yes.
That's what Bradley McDougald earned last year, Ira. That's nothing on the NFL scale. Nothing. And in comes Adrian Peterson, who obviously is willing.
Chip on his shoulder.
You know, he's got the blessing of Mike Evans and Jameis Winston, all that stuff that we heard about. But he's willing to handle the ball 10, 12 times a game. No problem. AP's going where they have a 1,000-yard rusher in Mark Ingram. Do you understand why Bucks fans are banging their heads against the wall that he's not here?
I do, to a certain extent. But for Buck fans to think that Adrian Peterson's going to put the Saints over the top, I think that's foolish for a couple of reasons. One, he's 32, and history shows, you know, the odds are he's not going to be a major factor. But more importantly, the Saints don't have any trouble scoring points, Steve. So, you know, now they're going to score 31 instead of 29. The fact is, Adrian Peterson isn't going to get any sacks this year. And they got problems, you know, other than Cameron Jordan, who's a good player. They don't have anybody playing with Cameron Jordan. The secondary's in flux. The linebackers aren't very good. They give up a ton of yards and a ton of points. And they're still going to have to win shootouts in 2017. And that's a big burden on Drew Brees' shoulder. If they don't score 30 points, they don't win a lot of games. So, yeah, Peterson can help in spots. Ingram turned out to be a better pro than I thought he would be. He had a slow start in New Orleans. I didn't like him particularly coming out of the draft. But you know what? Mark Ingram's gotten better as the year's gone by. And funny enough, speaking of Mark Ingram, Steve, he played very well against the Bucs in that game against New Orleans, the game that ultimately cost the Bucs a playoff berth. They had trouble stopping Mark Ingram, and he gave the Saints a lot of offensive balance in that game and really hurt the Bucs because they couldn't tee off on Breeze. I'm not sure they would have been able to anyway, but the fact that the Saints had an effective running game, that really stymied the Bucs defense that day. So, you know, Peterson, don't lose any sleep. It's more about why isn't he a Buck than is he going to help the Saints?
Well, here's this front. You know, a lot of Bucs fans have said, why not sign Peterson?
Just, and draft somebody.
Peterson doesn't end up on a division rival. And so he doesn't hurt you, and what's the worst that'll happen? You cut him or bench him and bury him, whatever. Do you think, now I don't know if that logic is any good, but do you think that the Saints sign Peterson for just that reason? Saying, hey, you know what? We don't want him on the Bucs. I mean, we saw the guy worked out. We don't want him on Tampa. That could be deadly. We surely don't want him in Carolina. We'll sign him and we'll work him in.
Maybe they saw a little video of Winston and
well, do you think that's part of this at all?
I'm not sure they ever felt that he was in play in Tampa. I'm not, you know, Winston's comments notwithstanding, that you know, and Mike Evans' comments notwithstanding. What was important is what Cutter and Light felt about Peterson, and they didn't seem in any hurry to sign him. But, you know, you make a good point. When the salary goes down, the player's value goes up. And so maybe at that point where Peterson realized his market value wasn't anywhere near what he thought it was going to be going into this whole affair, maybe that was a factor. But again, the Saints' problems are certainly not scoring points. And if the Bucs would have signed Peterson, they still would have had to draft a running back.
I think you'd
agree with that.
I got you. All right. Peter King. Guy does his famous mock draft, annual mock draft, clearly puts a lot of work in.
My mock draft was better than King's last year, by the way.
He had the Bucs taking an offensive lineman, a left tackle, saying the Bucs would jump at it. Is that just irresponsible journalism, Ira?
Well,
I'm just
he doesn't know every team the way the beat writers for that particular team is. Now, they're not. Donovan Schmidt's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
I'm talking about King here. I don't care about the Bucs. Every Bucs fan listening here knows that. But I'm saying, why does that happen? Why does that happen? Peter King, biggest Twitter account in NFL.
Who's he got him taken? Rant.
The left tackle, I forget out of Alabama. So why? Did he call you? Do you think you say he's not a beat writer? Why doesn't he call a beat writer and say, hey, what's the one position the Bucs aren't taking in the first round? Besides quarterback. Why does this happen?
I think that's a case where he's looking at mock drafts and he sees that this guy hasn't been taken. He's still on the board. He's a good player. But he's not a good fit for the Bucs. Not in the first round. Not in the first round, Steve. You know why? He wouldn't play in year one. My first round pick, he's got to play in year one. Unless he's a quarterback, and we talked about that with the Chiefs, where you're grooming somebody. Where the Bucs are right now, if they stay in the first round and pick a guy in the first round, that guy has to contribute in year one and not be a backup tackle, not be a swing tackle. So I reject that. I'm with you on that one. I think in this particular case, it's not a good matchup of player and team, not for the first round.
All right, Ira, parting shots, final thoughts, X factors, long shots, anything you got?
I'd be shocked if the Bucs moved up from 19 to 15. That would shock me. This is not a draft where you want to give up second and third round picks, and I don't see Jason Light doing that. Going back makes sense. Makes sense. And if they stay at 19, keep looking at those pass rushers, Buck fans. I think one of them could be in a Buck uniform.
You think Mike Smith had any inkling? You think there was any sort of behind the scenes like, hey, Mike, we'll draft a first-round defensive player? You think that any of that ever goes on?
It absolutely goes on because, first of all, we know the relationship between Cutter and Smith. I think Jason Light's got a great deal of respect for Mike Smith, and why wouldn't you? even though we were trying to run him out of town at the bye week.
Not me, not me.
You know, especially after those back-to-backs, you know, the Oakland and Atlanta games were awful. But look how they came on. They went 6-2. Defense played well. But there's room for improvement. And Mike Smith wants another pass rusher, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets one.
All right, Kaufman, your podcasts, of course, every Tuesday and Thursday, brand new ones. Next podcast, we'll be talking about a whole slew of new Buccaneers. Exciting times. Everyone will, of course, see you if they want to. They can hug you and squeeze you at Sports Legends in Clearwater.
Maybe we get a guest next week, Steve. You never know.
Yeah, we're going to get some more guests. And through the summer, I know we're going to have some guests, which will be fun. And hey, the fun continues. Thanks for all your support for Ira, for the podcast, for JoeBucksFan.com. We're out of here.